get that light out of my face and get behind the tape. All of you, now. Detective Jake Brogan pointed his own flashlight at the pack of reporters. Its cold glow highlighting one news-greedy face after another in the October darkness. He recognized television, radio, that kid from the paper. How the hell did they get here so fast? The whiffle of a chopper, one of theirs, hovered over the riverbank, its spotlights illuminating the unmistakable, another long night on the job. And a Monday morning visit to a grieving family, if they could figure out who this victim was. A body by the river. This time, the Charles, down by the old dock. Her legs, black tights striped with mud, leather boots, one zipper down, splayed on the fallen leaves and slimy underbrush on the bank. Her head, chestnut hair, floating like a punk Ophelia, bobbing and grotesque in the tangled weaves. Too bad I can't call Jane. She'd love this. Jake's yellow beam of light landed on that Tucker kid, notebook out and edging toward the body. Rubber boots squished in the muck of the riverbank, still soft from Boston's run of bad luck weather. Hey, you, newspaper kid, out. This means you. You don't want to have to call your new editor to bail you out. Is it a serial killer? A reporter's voice, thin and reedy, carried in the chill wind. The neon green from the Boston Garden billboards, the purple beacons decorating the white cabled Zakim Bridge, the glaring yellow of the chopper spots colored the crime scene into a B-movie carnival. Are you calling it a serial killing? You think it's one person? Was she killed the same way as the other? Yeah, tell us, Jake, another voice demanding. Is two murders serial? One a couple weeks ago, one today. That's two, a different reporter's voice. Both women, both by water, by bridges, both weekend nights, both dead. That's serial. We're going with that. Maybe the river killer? We are too. The bridge killer. Have you figured out who the first victim is? Out of here. All of you. Jake tucked his flashlight under one arm, zipped his Boston police issue brown leather jacket. Reporters scrambling to nickname a murderer. Crazy. What does Jane always say? It bleeds, it leads. At least her stories aren't like that. A siren screamed across Causeway Street. Then the red-striped ambulance careened down the rutted side street. Every camera turned to the EMTs, scrambling out the opening ambulance doors. No need for them to hurry, Jake thought. His watch showed 2:15 a.m. She'd been dead for at least 3 hours, just like the other woman. Jane Ryland had thrown up after the verdict. She twisted her damp hair away from her face, avoided the mirror, and contemplated how long she could hide in the Suffolk County Courthouse ladies' room. Forever would be good. Instead, she'd gritted out a smile for the scrum of cameras as Channel 11's defense attorney promised her television colleagues an immediate appeal of the jury's decision. The two then marched down the granite steps of the courthouse, the lawyer's pinstriped arm protectively across Jane's shoulder, as if a $1 million damage verdict were the honorable cost of doing journalism business. But soon after, Jane could read the counterfeit smiles, rescheduled meetings, abysmal story assignments. Her TV reporting career was over. She'd protected a source, but nobody was protecting her. $1 million mistake, the headline screamed. Ryland names wrong man as John in sex for hire case. Indie Rag Boston Weekly called her Wrong Guy Ryland. Jane knew she hadn't been wrong. There'd been no mistake. But it didn't matter. Days later, she was fired. And most incredibly bogus of all, they pretended it wasn't about the verdict. Jane had banged out a bitter and bewildered email to her pal Amy. Once newbie co-anchors together in Iowa, Amy had landed a high-profile reporter gig in Washington, D.C. Then Jane got a similar deal in Boston. Amy's star was still rising. Plus, as she never let Jane forget, she was married. After 3 years of promos, all those promises, Jane typed. They said they wanted to go another direction with their political coverage. Are you kidding me? There's an election coming. It's the biggest story since the Kennedy thing. What the hell other direction can they go? I'm so sorry, Janie, honey, Amy typed back. They had to blame somebody. Everyone hates TV reporters. And everybody hates TV. I'm probably next, you know? We should have gotten real jobs, kiddo. Now, Alex Wyatt, Register City editor Alex Wyatt, of all people, was about to offer Jane a real job, such as it was. At least the Register's headlines had been objective. Grocery magnet wins slander suit. Jane closed her eyes briefly at the memory. Dad would take care of her, if it came to that. Even urge her to come home to Oak Park. Then he'd probably urge her to go to law school. Like younger sister, engaged sister, good sister Lissa. Dad would be supportive. At least try to be. But Dr. Ryland never approved of failure. She was on her own. And she'd be fine. Perched on the couch in Alex's new and already file-strewn office at the Boston Register, surrounded by the clutter of his half-unpacked boxes, Jane was working hard at being fine. She wished she could just say no. Leave town? Change her name. Forget the jurors. Forget the verdict. Talk to her mom just one more time.